It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Now, the dropout early warning system in Wisconsin, it uses machine learning to predict a student's risk of either dropping out of high school or not graduating on time. We explore a recent study that examines this tool and its impact over time. You can join the conversation at any point. Call in with questions at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Tolani Britton is an assistant professor of education at the University of California, Berkeley. Tolani, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
Good morning. And Juan Perdomo is here, recently received his graduate degree from UC Berkeley's Computer Science Division. Juan, welcome.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
Juan, let's start with you. The report shows 2/3 of our schools here in Wisconsin use this early warning system to predict who is at risk of dropping out. What are you learning about the system and its effectiveness?
Yeah, so the system's been in place starting in 2012, and it's used as a way to try to answer this question of, you know, what students in Wisconsin public schools need the most help at a young age, so that we can, teachers can intervene and hopefully keep them on track to graduate. And, well, kind of just quickly summarizing, we find that the system hasn't really led to better graduation rates in Wisconsin. So even though it's been quite accurate in predicting who will and who won't graduate, we don't find that it's led to improvements in the graduation rates for schools across the state.
And, you know, from your computer science background, this is an algorithm. How complex is it? How is it working? How is the system working, you know, in the background here?
So the algorithm's quite sophisticated, and I guess, but it's pretty common as far as machine learning algorithms go. This is something that there's publicly available code that anyone can use to do similar things, but essentially just tries to identify patterns in the data. So it looks at historical patterns of students and their graduation outcomes in Wisconsin and tries to mine these patterns to predict, you know, for future students, who will graduate and who will not.
So, Tolani, once schools receive the warnings from this system that students are at high risk of not graduating, what are schools typically doing with this information? How are they responding?
Thank you for the question, Kate. I think it's pretty complex. On the one hand, you're receiving information, and many times I would think that school counselors or administrators who are looking at this data, receiving this data. On the other hand, the reasons that students aren't graduating are quite complex. Many of them have to do with things like student attendance, student academic performance, and structural barriers. When we think about public education today within the state of Wisconsin and really nationally, there's a shortage of certified teachers. There are high rates of mental health struggles, both with students and teachers. And so I think that schools are getting information that in some ways they might have already, which students are struggling. But the question that I think that we should be talking a little bit more about is how can we use things like these algorithms to help schools understand where they should be intervening, not necessarily just with whom they should be intervening.
Okay, so it's the piece about deploying adequate interventions that is not holding up here. Basically, the system is a predictor, but it kind of stops at that point. It's not like the other piece of it is intervention.
Absolutely. The other piece is intervention, and I think the intervention piece is the more complex piece in some ways. I think understanding who the students are is extremely important, so I don't want to ignore that piece of the puzzle. But I do think that because students are individual, their circumstances are individual, and at the same time, they're living within these structures, both schools, communities, states, understanding what works for a given student in a given context is really some of the information that schools need in order to move the needle around high school completion, college enrollment, et cetera.
I want to get your reaction to the report from The Markup, the nonprofit news organization, looking more deeply at this algorithm and saying that, you know, look, including race and family income in the system is further marginalizing and stigmatizing students. What is your reaction, Talani?
Yeah, so I'm of two minds, and I definitely want to hear what Juan has to say on this one, particularly because he works with the algorithms. I think that understanding the ways in which a student's racial background and their socioeconomic status, the relationship between that and their outcomes is important. I think that we are all clear, or maybe I'm making some assumptions, I am clear, that the realities of race and social economic status are absolutely one of the determinants of students' outcomes, both short-term and long-term. And so we're thinking about the likelihood of having access to high-quality schools, the likelihood of being in neighborhoods where nutritious and fresh food is available, the likelihood of having resources to attend college or attend colleges where graduation rates are high. So I think that including it is not necessarily the problem. Mm. I think the issue becomes problematic when we don't simply include it, but we use it as a reason not to do additional interventions, or simply to say, well, this is socioeconomically determined, so I can't do very much about it. I think that's when it becomes problematic.
Juan, what are your insights on these input variables with demographic data?
Yeah, I completely agree with Talani. So on the one hand, things like race and income are related to lots of other factors that do determine whether students will graduate from high school on time. And I think that given these strong relationships, I think it's important to use these kinds of statistics because they actually do carry a lot of information regarding, you know, answering this question of like which students need the most help. If there are, which there are, big disparities in achievement or graduation rates between different demographic groups, you know, it's important.
Which there are in Wisconsin,
Yes, there are in Wisconsin. This isn't something that's very important to know, and the only way to know this is by tracking that kind of information. I think this is kind of closer to Talani's point at the end is, you know, it's one thing to put this into the algorithm. What you do based off interventions is kind of a separate question. But no, I don't think it's inherently problematic to include it for the sake of prediction.
Juan Perdomo there, computer scientist, Talani Britton, assistant professor of education, both from the University of California, Berkeley. Their recent study on how Wisconsin schools label high-risk students and identify how to target extra support. Call in with your question on the dropout early detection system, your thoughts, how they work, what you wonder, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with UC Berkeley researchers on their study called Difficult Lessons on Social Prediction from Wisconsin Public Schools. Looks at the complexities of machine learning to identify struggling students. Join the conversation. Call in with your question at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Talani Britton is an assistant professor of education. Juan Perdomo is a computer scientist. You know, one line that jumps out in your study, Talani, is to think of an early warning system as a sorting procedure. And indeed, a common goal of machine learning is to improve efficiency. So with that said, how can machine learning be improved, you know, be reformed to, you know, be more efficient, to be more effective?
Yeah, Kate, I think that's a really great question, and I'll probably give you a partial answer to that really good question. We spoke a little bit earlier in the show about what in some ways what information machine learning might provide that schools do not have. As a former classroom teacher in New York City, I could probably relatively accurately identify which of my students were struggling. What I really needed assistance or help with, and I think this may be a place where algorithms might be helpful because they have the capacity to sort of look across a wide swath of data and return relatively accurate predictions, is what actually worked with respect to improving student outcomes. Is it that for students who had a hard time with attendance, for example, they needed to be placed in classes that started later in the day, right? Was that an effective algorithm, or was that an effective way to sort students? For students who needed extra help, was having a push-in teacher in the classroom more effective, or having additional time after school? There are all of these interventions. And in some ways, what is hard to understand or predict for an individual teacher with an individual student, but there might be data sort of over time within a school, is what actually helps students become more successful. And it really is our sort of collective responsibility when we think about how much of this is structurally determined, right? Mm-hmm. The type of school that you attend, the proportion of teachers who are credentialed, who are absolutely working hard whether or not they're credentialed, but may not have as much experience.
Juan, your insights there, because, you know, Talani bringing up all the structural determinants that do have such an impact. How can machine learning, be effective in efficiency, but also more effective in the outcomes?
Yeah, so I think that the DPI has built like quite an impressive system for the sake of prediction. Hmm. Like it uses a lot of information around students, and it has like a big database of, you know, historically which students in Wisconsin graduate and which students in Wisconsin don't. And because they have so much data, you can generate like a very accurate predictor that will tell you who will graduate and who will not. What does not have is what Talani is hinting at, which is like a different system that doesn't just tell you who will graduate and who will not, but will actually suggest possible interventions that will effectively change outcomes. I think that not just in Wisconsin, but across the nation, there isn't quite such a holistic database to try to systematically understand which kinds of interventions and strategies work with different kinds of students. And if we had access to such a data set, then we could start thinking about different algorithms and insights that we could use from this data to improve educational trajectories.
And one thing that comes out of the report, Talani, is to improve graduation rates by, looking at the school level, which I think is where you were headed, focus on schools rather than individual students. Why would that focus be helpful?
Yeah, Kate, so I want to both answer that question, return a little bit to your prior question. I think, you know, part of what Juan was suggesting, I think we're both suggesting, is really thinking about using this in some way, some of the same data, mm-hmm. To understand or better think about interventions for student outcomes. And sort of in my dream world, what that might look like is actually using the same data, looking at students who potentially were at risk but graduated, and thinking what actually worked for these students. So looking at some of these same factors, and which are the ones that seem to have been associated with maybe a higher likelihood of you know, for example, completing high school, given that this student was at risk, might be another way to look at this data, not just using the data to think about, okay, who is at risk, but for those who are at risk who graduated, what were some of the factors actually associated with that positive outcome? Hmm. Okay.
Who broke the system? In his head? Carry on, Talani. Yes.
No, and so then the second part of your question, I'm just going to reflect that back to you, was really, before I answer it, to make sure I sort of captured it, was really trying to think a little bit more about school level factors. Is that correct?
Yes, because, I think the line in the report was that, you know, you can figure this out by just focusing on the schools, the low-income schools that really need the help.
Absolutely. I think that that is the case. What I don't want to suggest is that schools can solve societal ills. I think in many ways that misses the mark, but I do think schools absolutely have a role. And it's not simply about giving schools resources, it's about giving them things like, you know, additional teacher training, genuinely ensuring that students have access to nutritious food. When I worked in New York City, we had a relatively small school, fewer than 400 students in a high school, and two trained counselors, licensed social workers. So I think that it's not just, as I said, resources, but the kinds of resources and having a way to actually have those resources be, you know, shift from year to year. So, you know, it's one thing to give a school money and say you can only, you know, do an after school program with this. Well, it could be that they need an after school program in year one, but in year two, what they need is an additional mental health counselor because of some of the impacts of the pandemic or some other crises. So I think that it's one, giving resources to schools, but also really speaking to students, to parents, to teachers, to administrators in a school to understand what those needs are and having the capacity to be somewhat agile with respect to the ways in which the needs for those resources might change over time.
Tolani and Juan, thank you for joining us and sharing your research on Wisconsin.
Of course, thank you so much for having us.
Juan Perdomo and Tolani Britton, they're researchers at the University of California, Berkeley, co-authors of the study called Difficult Lessons on Social Prediction from Wisconsin Public Schools. Find a link to the study at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.